Hi, I'm Aaron, and I'd like to talk to you for a little while about documenting design systems, and in particular what I learned from documenting a specific design system, namely Orbit. To start with, many of you are probably familiar with what design systems are. They are something that's become more and more popular recently. It's a way for different teams and people working on projects to come together to make sure that their designs align, to make sure the design is working in a systematic way. So as a way to think about design systems and what's important in documenting them, I thought I'd go through some of the quotes from some of the design systems that I admire and drew inspiration from. And first is a design system by IBM called Carbon. And this emphasizes the fact that design systems provide building blocks for designing experiences. This often means design systems have component libraries or UI kits. This means that they have specific pieces that designers and developers can take and use to build larger experiences. They can use them and know that if they use these components and put them together, they can build a consistently great experience. Next, from Polaris, we have the emphasis on working together in collaboration with other designers. And this is especially important in open source software, I believe, because you have contributors who might be coming from different backgrounds and different experiences with the project itself. And you want to make sure that all of those contributions are pushing in the same direction. They're using the same kind of design language. So then people who interact with the project afterwards aren't confused by different kinds of designs pushing them in different directions. But if you have a systematic approach to things, that means different people can contribute and we can work together to build a singularly great experience. The gov.uk design system emphasizes not repeating work. Their system involves a lot of user research. They test how different things, even wording of things, works with different kinds of people. And they want to make sure that they only have to do the research once and then they can use it again in many different cases. Or if you have a certain kind of design question, a certain task a user might face, you don't want to have to reinvent that wheel every time you come across that case. You want to make sure that you have something written down that can show people what the best approach is in your circumstances and why that has been, so that you don't have to repeat that again. And lastly, we have a design system from GitLab, which is a completely open source company. And they want to emphasize the fact that people who are contributing to your project, you want to make sure that they're doing so confidently. A design system can show them what they're contributing to, how it makes sense within the overall picture, and make sure that they know how they should be contributing. You're providing guidance and guidelines, making sure that everything is working together so that they can contribute to your project in a way that makes them feel good and makes them want to come back and keep contributing. So that's about design systems in general. Orbit is a specific design system. It's built for Kiwi.com. Kiwi.com is part of the travel industry. So that means Orbit has components and patterns and things that fit the travel industry. It also has some more general components, but it does have an emphasis on travel industry. And it has its own design team within the Kiwi.com, which means there are people dedicated to making sure that the project works for all of its users. So when we're thinking about what's necessary for documentation, I think it's helpful to think about what Orbit would be if it had no documentation. What it would be is a bunch of building blocks. It would be a bunch of component libraries. It would have components in Figma for the designs, and then it would have components in React for the website and iOS and Android components for the different apps that are there. Now, each of these things is useful. They are building blocks and building the experience, but there's nothing there that ties them together, that makes you understand how it works together in a systematic way, and so on. So there are useful building blocks there, but it's not a complete system yet. It doesn't have all of those things that make up a design system. So what else do you need? Well, what we needed was standards, which means including things like accessibility, making sure that it's clear when you have to provide alternative text for images and so on, making sure that all of your components and designs live up to certain kinds of standards. Also patterns, which are ways to take different components and build them together to fit common use cases. For example, in the travel industry, you have a lot of forms to collect information from travelers, and you want to make sure that you're building those forms and any error handling that you have within that in a consistent way. And so you want to provide guidance there. Also, in terms of processes, things like handing off designs from designers to developers, making sure that you're working together in the correct way, that you're not repeating mistakes and everything is clear, and people can focus on making great designs and not focus on how they have to be doing that. As long as the process is clear, then it will be helpful. And in terms of helpfulness, you also want to be providing guidance. That means partly just how you could interact with specific components, like what the API for a specific component is, and also guidance in getting started with the design system, getting it up and running, and getting it working within different kinds of projects. All of this guidance helps people find confidence with your design system, which drives them to adapt it and use it more, which is helpful for the design system and for them as well. And also reasons for decisions, because we have found that we were often, you know, making decisions about certain kinds of designs, and then 6 months later, we wouldn't always be clear about what those decisions were and why they happened. So writing them down and collecting them in a unified way helped make sure that we weren't repeating those decisions and those arguments over and over again. So that we could come back in 6 months and say, well, I know why it's that color. We don't have to keep talking about it. Now, in terms of the specific project needs, Orbit did have some documentation when this started. It had a WordPress site, and there was a lot about the WordPress site that was nice. There was some functionality in there that was very useful. But there were some drawbacks to it. For one, it didn't always live up to our own standards. Part of that was things in terms of accessibility. Sometimes there was color used to emphasize things and not other means of expressing the same kind of thing, which means people who are colorblind or blind couldn't access that information, and we didn't want that. It was also far removed from the code. So when we had people contributing components to the React library, for example, it was easy for them to contribute the components, but it wasn't always easy for them to contribute to the documentation because those things were in separate kinds of places. And so it was somewhat hard to update, like that means in terms of the content that was there, partly because of access control. It was only controlled access to certain people within the Orbit team, but also the format, because it was in PHP and we didn't have PHP developers, that made it somewhat hard to work on the functionality there. We also wanted it to be an open source project, because from the start, Orbit has had React components that have been completely open source, and we've had contributions from people who have used it from around the world, and we think that's an important part of the Orbit design system, and so we wanted the documentation to be similarly like that, to welcome contributions so that people could contribute to components, they could contribute to documentation and guidance as well, and have it all open so that people can contribute and we can have it available for everybody. So what we decided to do was switch to a system that is called Docs as Code, which means that you treat your documentation as if it were code. You put it in plain text files, and then you can run different processes on it to build it, to test it, to make sure it lives up to your standards, to make sure everything is spelled correctly, and so on. What we did specifically was we used Gatsby, which is a React framework, for building static sites and other kinds of sites as well. And this was useful because we have React developers, so they could switch over to React and have familiarity there. They could build out functionality there. And also because we could use Orbit components specifically in building the site. So that meant when it made sense, we could use Orbit components to build the documentation site that was about Orbit. So that meant we had really nice examples of Orbit in action, which sometimes that's better than a lot of words about how it can be useful, is seeing a good example. So we thought that was a good way to show that. And we also used MDX, which is Markdown plus JSX. Markdown is a standard syntax for writing text files. People are usually familiar with it from README files in open source projects. So most people who are going to be contributing to our project are used to Markdown, and MDX adds in JSX, which means it adds in JavaScript. So that meant we could use our Orbit components directly in the documentation itself, not just the site that is building them around that, but in the documentation itself. So if a component changes, then the example of that component automatically changes right there because it's built from the same thing. That component is used to make the documentation site. So this way we had a tight coupling between our designs and our code, and everything was more easily up to date. Now, whenever you're doing something in terms of documentation, whenever you're writing something, the first thing you want to think about is who your audience is. Who are you writing for? What do they want? What are their expectations? And so on. In terms of a design system, the things that you might want to think about include whether you're writing for designers and developers as separate people. Or are they the same person who's contributing both designs and code? Do they come to your site to do everything at once? Do they come with different needs at different times? Do you want to write everything in one place or keep things separate? You want to make sure that you understand what they're expecting so that when you provide information to them, it will be easy for them to understand what is happening and contribute to your project or even just use it. Now, when you've had some thoughts about the audience, then that will inform the design of how you present the information. For example, this is an alert component. This is one of the components in the Orbit system. It starts with the name of the component, an introduction that just presents what the component is for. And then you can see there are general guidelines and a tab for React. And this is because we knew we had React developers who were coming not to know anything about the component in general, but just to know which of the API things they had to change quickly, just to get a table of what could be changed. They sometimes came to the docs for that. So we wanted to provide that information, but most people weren't interested in seeing that right away. So we put it behind a tab so it's accessible, but not necessarily the first thing you're looking at. In terms of the first thing you're looking at, we knew that both designers and developers were interested in seeing something and playing with it, changing it to see how they could adapt it for their own uses. So in each case, we have an example for the component to start off with so they can see what is possible. And you can see under the example, there's a possibility to edit the code directly, which is useful for developers who are interested in changing the code and seeing what changes. And also a playground, which allows people who wouldn't edit the code to still be able to change it to see how it changes in different kinds of design situations. So we knew we had people who were coming and looking for examples, and so we gave it to them directly. And we hid extra information behind more buttons and tabs so that it would only be disclosed progressively, only when people wanted it. Now, once you have a kind of idea about who your audience is and what their expectations are, you want to also try to shape their expectations within your documentation. The article Documenting Components by Nathan Curtis is really good about this in terms of components specifically, going through different kinds of ways to present that information and the trade-offs from choosing that kind of information. So this helps you provide enough information to actually be useful, but not be overwhelming. If you just took everything about a component and presented it as one big, long list of paragraphs, people would probably not read that and would not get the information that you want. So you want to break it down into smaller sections so that correspond to what people want to know, so that they can come, find the information they want, and then leave. Because people aren't usually coming to documentation to read it for hours on end like a good novel or something like that. Some of us do things like that, but most people do not. So as an example, here's a section about usage. So this would be about when to use a specific component. And it's broken down into when this is a good component to use under use and when not to use this component. And the don't use section, it doesn't just leave users hanging. Don't use this one, so what do I do? It always provides a link to what to use in this alternative situation so that they're not just stuck there with no guidance. You're providing them a way out. So this kind of structured approach allows them to know what to expect and find the information that they need when they need it. So in terms of our structure, which I briefly presented some of it, for Orbit, we started with the introduction, which is just a sentence or two about what it is. There's an example that people can play with, usage information, when to use it, when not, what to use in other case, the status, which means whether it's available already in Figma, in React, in iOS, in Android, or if it's just an idea that we're working on, or it's available some places and not others. Then the content structure, which takes the component as a whole and breaks it down into the smaller pieces, like is there an icon, is there a label, what do each of them mean, what do you have to think about for each part? And then three more general kinds of sections, which aren't always present, but can be. For example, behavior is about interactions and responsive behavior, and also details on the use cases that we put in the usage just shortly. The content provides information to content designers, if you have them, or people who are providing that role, which means if you're looking for just what kind of words to use on a button, on a call to action to make it more actionable, you go right to the content section, and you don't have to worry about all of the other kinds of ideas, but you focus on the words or the pictures specifically. And lastly is look and feel, which provides information on different variants of it, but also especially this is where we can record our design decisions, so we don't have to be arguing about why it's this color or why the padding is this big and not that big 6 months in the future. It's written down with its reasoning, so if you're interested in it, you can go there, but if you just want to use it, then you have all of the sections before that. Once you've decided what your needs are and what your structure is, I would recommend creating a set of templates, because templates are a way that people can see your structure in action and know how to use that to create their own documentation, so they can contribute to your documentation directly. So you can see here, this is also an example of our documentation. It starts with the React example. That way people can see the syntax of what to do and how to include an example in there directly. And then it goes through the structure with the when to use and when not to use with lists. Inside of this, this template doesn't just exist as a blank document, but there's guidance on how to use that written into the structure itself. So using the syntax to show you how to use the template to build your own documentation. So this kind of thing is useful for getting people off the ground and getting people to be able to contribute confidently. Another thing that's important in terms of making it easy to contribute is making sure you don't have too many gates, too many barriers to contribution. For example, we talked about having standards. With Docs's code, you can use things like linters. There's a system called Veil that lets you check against styles to make sure that people are using the right kinds of, are spelling things correctly and not using negative or gendered language and things like that. But if someone contributes and they just want to change something small to make it better and they come across all of these failures, these X's, they won't feel good. They won't feel confident about their contribution. And they might not continue with your design system. It's also important to think about making sure that the doc site is easy to build and other things so that you regularly go through your getting started materials to make sure people can contribute very easily. Because otherwise people aren't going to be a part of it. Your design system won't be adopted very well. So you want to make sure that your docs are up to date and helpful in getting people started with what you are doing. You also want to make sure that what you're doing is accessible to everybody. I talked about how using color alone is something that Orbit recommends against. For example, if you have use and don't use, and it was only green versus red, then thousands of people wouldn't be able to access that information because they wouldn't be able to see the difference. So we use words, we use colors, and we use symbols to make it clear. So you want to make sure it's accessible to everybody, but you also want to add some flair. You also want to make sure that it's visually interesting to people who can get that. We have a bunch of different components for the documentation site itself, such as these guidelines presenting things do versus don't. It's progressively enhanced, and so the color is added, which might get you some engagement. People are interested in your docs, but it also works without that color, which is an important thing in making sure it's accessible to everybody. And you can see these examples in action. But you also want to make sure that you're not only providing component documentation. For example, we provide information on how to structure Figma files so that people working in Figma know where to find the information they want. We also provide things like interactive guides to choosing the right component. This is not something that works inside one component, but looks at the system as a whole, and you go through a series of questions to provide a decision tree to provide a recommendation on what component to use. And we find that this has been interesting and engaging for different kinds of people, and that they now know what to use and they can feel like they're a part of what they're doing. Then you want to put it all together with designs from people who are better at designing than I am and make sure that it works all together. And this is the documentation that we came up with, and I think that it is really a great example of documentation and design working together in the right direction. And of course, you want to try to get feedback on what you did and make it better each time. So instead of a basic list, to add some flair to make it more interesting. In terms of the great designs, I want to thank the other people on the Orbit team who helped contribute designs and development. I don't work with them every day, but I'm very proud to have contributed with them to this design system. So thank you. My name is Aaron Collier. You can find more about me and these slides at collier.cz. Thanks.